Okay, so we're doing beta, back to beta. So the issue is about, we just learned that you can place an Eruv on behalf of other people. An Eruv Techumen, which means that I'm placing Eruv Techumen allows me, I'm sorry, not Techumen, Tavshilin, allows me to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Now I could place it on behalf of other people as well. Okay, when it will allow them to cook also. And in order to do so, I have to make a kinyan, which means I have to, so to speak, I have to, let's say, give it to somebody else and say, hey, I want you to be Kona, this object, on behalf of all these people who I'm placing it for. All the people in the city or whoever it is. And he makes a kinyan, thereby on their behalf. Thereby, they have a share in this Eruv, and the Eruv functions on behalf of all the people in the city or whoever it was placed for.
I have a question.
Yeah. There's a principle of Zachin Ladim Shelo B'fanav, that you could merit for somebody not in their presence. Which means that if I know something will be good for you, if I see $1 million on the floor, I say, I'm picking this up for Chaim, that works. Because it's a stam das that you want $1 million, it's beneficial to you. So therefore, it works. I could, so to speak, take a be like your shliach, so to, you know, however it works. But that's the principle, is that it's the stam das that you want that to happen. Okay, it's an assumed das. So therefore here, an Erev Tavshilin only benefits a person, doesn't harm a person. So therefore, I could place it on behalf of these people, and they may not know about it, but I could be, they could be konet, they could be makonet to them, so they have a share in it, and therefore the Erev works on their behalf as well. Okay? It's a good principle to know. Okay, so the answer is like this. So we're up to Tes Zion Amud Beis. That's page 32 in Beta. So it says, Machir is Rabbi Yaakov, it's two dots, like maybe 15 or 20 lines from the top. Machir is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Mishalo Inyach Erev Tavshilin. Yavav Yismachal Sheli. Whoever didn't place an Erev Tavshilin could come and rely on my Erev Tavshilin. Okay? So he was like, previously told stories. Avu the Shmuel, the Mason is making an Erev for all of Narada, and Riyami Rasi did it for all of Tveria. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said the same thing. Whoever wants could rely on mine. Okay? So the Gemara says Vead Kama. And until far, how far does this work? For whom does this Erev work? For whom could I place the Erev? So Gemara says, Amar of Nechume, or Zachariah, Mishmeh Dabai, Ad Tchum Shabbos. Until the Tchum. Till the Tchum Shabbos. Which is basically, you know, the 2,000 Amos, or the distance that people are allowed to walk. Any, so to speak, any person who would be allowed to walk from where they are to me on Shabbos, so for that Oriyantif, so my Erev could be an account for him. But someone who lives outside of my walking range, because you're not allowed to walk beyond a certain distance on Shabbos, so that person is it does not go for them. Okay, the Erev doesn't count for them. Yep. Question on the surface is, why only until Tchum Shabbos? Why only until Tchum Shabbos? What kind of limit is that? Strange, when I talk about Tchum, it's the Erev Tavshilin. So Rashi says, "Ula omdim chutz l'tchom," and for the people who are outside the tchom, lo hayadaito shel miniach aleihem. So the das of he who placed the erev was not for them. But lo alu alibo lezochron, and he didn't remember or consider to remember them. Okay. When a person places it, so the Rav of a shul places it, he's thinking about his community. He's not thinking about the people in China. So I'm thinking about people who are all the way somewhere else, outside of Tchum Shabbos. His striking distance, so to speak, is his Tchum Shabbos. Those are the people he could walk to on Shabbos. Those are his Shabbos community. And that's who he's thinking about. But everyone else, he's not thinking about. Okay? What's the implication? Or what could you argue is the implication?
Right there?
Yeah. Okay, so Matt's saying good. As it would seem to be, I mean, I'm not saying you can't argue with this, but the simple implication in Rashi is that if you had in mind specifically, you say, I am having in mind for the people in China. I am having in mind the people outside my clan. My brother lives in China, and I know he doesn't put arrows, and he's not so vigilant about it, so I'm having him in mind. Okay, or someone else on my clan. So then it would seem, in theory, it should work. Because he's just saying is that the reason why it's clan Shabbos is because beyond that, a person doesn't consider, doesn't think about. But there's no intrinsic halacha that it's limited by tchum. Right? There's no limit, no intrinsic halacha like that. It's just that's what Rashi's saying, is that's not what a person's das is. But if it were your das, I mean, unless you were to say somehow, for some reason, halacha objectifies das, which I don't see why you should do that, because I'm placing it, whatever, but look, that would be the only way you could say that. But I don't see why you should say that, Rashi. He's just saying, it's minasam, not what a person's das is. Right? He didn't think about them. Okay? Fine. Now let's look at the Ran. He says like this. The Ran says it's on Daf Chesam with Beis. It's the second wide line. The bottom wide lines. It's about Kama Tchum Shabbos. The Mistama Daito while calling himself a Tchumah. Because Minastam is Das. Minastam is like what we assume is Das is. On those who are within the tchum. Aval tfei mehacha, but further than that, efshar de'afilu b'mefarish u'vemasne lo mani. Even if he specifies, it still doesn't work. She'inu b'din she'arei v'echar akol olam, because it's not logical to say that a guy could be ma'ari for the entire world. Right? So therefore, that's it. You say it's possible, that's the limit.
So you could only be
right within your tum, even if you have mine. That's what the Ron's saying. He's not sure about it, but he's saying it seems to him that way. Because he says it's not logical to take a place for anybody. It's funny because that's kind of the question, right?
I thought there was a question.
Right, that was the question.
Why we wanted to do it for everything? Yeah, so right. Why is that not logical?
Right, exactly. That's the problem. What's his argument? He's saying is it's not logical to say you can have one guy in the entire Kali Yisrael making error for everybody. He says that's hard to believe.
You know what?
That's what he's saying. I mean, in theory, it would work otherwise. But he's saying it's hard to believe that it would work. And since that's hard to believe, therefore, the Leah must be limited. So he's saying limited, Tchum Shabbos. But I mean, according to Rashi.
Why not?
Right. The question is, what's the Machlokas, right? I mean, we're assuming Rashi holds that. Rashi seems like it means. It only goes by Tchum because that's what a guy has in mind. But if you had a mind further, it would work. But the Ron is saying no. That is an intrinsic limitation of tchum. That's it. You can't go past tchum. Because it's not logical that a guy would be that one guy could place an error for the entire world. So first of all, why is it not logical? What's wrong with that? And what's the argument? What's the machlokas based on? Okay, so I'm thinking similar to what Matt's saying. I just want to, concretize it a little bit. Namely, how, by virtue of what, is it my era? In other words, if someone places it for me, so what makes it mine? What makes it my era? Okay? So, definitely, we know that I must have a kinyan in it, that we established. You need to be mezaka. The placer of the era must be mezaka. Must make a kinyan, must be makne it, must transfer ownership to all the participants in the Erev. And they must all have a zechus mamon, a monetary right in the Erev, toshil, for it to work. That's a fact. That's definitely necessary. Okay? Now, what makes it my Erev? So you could say, because that's what makes it my Erev. Because I have zechus mamon in it. I own a stake in this Erev, so it's my Erev and his Erev. It's everybody's Erev. Okay? So that's simply the monetary, the kinyan itself creates the relationship, right? Creates the relationship of me to the Erev. In which case, as long as the guy was makna to me, then it will work. Right? If he has me in mind, then when he plays it, he's say, doing it for me as well as for everybody else. And who cares how far away I am? You're just saying, it's Stam Das. The guy's not doing that. He's not having the Stam Das, the person. He's marking out to his community, his neighborhood. But if he has in mind other people, then great. That's the Rab. I'm sorry, that's Rashi. That's Rashi. Or do you say, no, that What's the deal? Eruv Toshila means is like what's happening here? It's that you're basically you're placing this Eruv. It's like you're starting your cooking for Shabbos before Shabbos, right? That's the idea. It's like it's the food which you're putting aside for Shabbos. I'm sorry, before Yontif, right? So it's like the beginning. It's the beginning of the preparation for Shabbos, right? Which takes place on Yontif. You're putting aside the right. I mean, the basically run or something like that. That you're basically this is the preparatory food for Shabbos. Okay, and if you have preparatory food beforehand, then by whatever mechanism it is, you're allowed to continue to prepare, or you're allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. As long as you've begun the preparation earlier, so then you could do it now. Okay, but basically this is food which is being set aside for Shabbos, right? So the food is really food for Shabbos. So he's saying is what makes it my Erev is that this food could be viewed as my food as well. I also have a stake in this food. This is my food for Shabbos as well as it's your food for Shabbos. Okay? It's our Shabbos food. I mean, it's true, maybe a minimal amount, but there's a reality to the fact that this is the beginning. We have begun to prepare for Shabbos. I didn't necessarily do it. Maybe the Rav did it. But whatever it is that this is the food which is the beginning of the Shabbos preparations. And the idea is that it's our food. Okay? If it's our food, you can't be our food if you're outside Tchum. Because you can't even come and eat the food. It's our Shabbos food. You're totally removed from the guy. You're cut off from the guy vis-a-vis Shabbos. So even though technically you could say I have a Kenyan, I have a monetary Kenyan in the thing, but it's not my food. It's the food only could be for people who are in the striking distance, in the community, in the eating distance of Shabbos. So the thing is that what makes it my Erev is that it's my food. It's placed on my behalf. It's my food as well. Now, you need Kenyan. You need Kenyan. But he's saying is according to this way, the Kenyan is simply a concretization of being my food. Okay, in other words, the Kenyan is not what makes it my Erev. What makes it my Erev is he placed it for me. It means this is our food. But that's true, he did that. And that's what he had in mind, and that's what it was like supposed to be designated for. But he learned that designation must be expressed in a concrete form through Kenyan. But the Kenyan is merely a concretization of the underlying reality of the thing as being my food. Okay, as being my food. But you're missing the underlying reality of being my food, the Kenyan per se can't make it my Erev. The Kenyan is a vehicle concretizing the reality of being my Erev. That's the way the Ram learns. Right? Whereas Rashi is learning the Kenyan itself is what makes it my Erev. The Choshen Mishpat itself is what makes it. What makes it my Erev? Because I have a Kenyan in the Erev. Again, the Ram's learning the Kenyan is the underlying reality of my Erev is that it's placed on my behalf. That is our food. It's designated as our food. And that demands that I'm within the Tchum. But even if it's placed in that way, that placing, that thing which is purely just the designation is concretized through that. He's saying it's our food, and he's making that concrete through giving me a Kenyan in it. But if you're missing the underlying thing of it being our food, and I just have a Kenyan in it, that can't make it into my Tchum, can't make it into my Erev. It's one part I'm making a big deal of. I'm kind of framing the question based upon the phenomenon of Kenyan. That you have a Kenyan in the thing, and I'm saying is what's the role of your Kenyan in the you know? Because I know based upon the sugyas we've done that's definitely a phenomenon. It's not enough to just place it on the other guy's behalf. And therefore you need Kenyan. But I'm saying is from reading the Gemara, you're in Ra'ad or Ran or whatever, you wouldn't necessarily know it had anything to do with that. So it's not like the postulates are well spelled out that okay, here's the given, you need a Kenyan. And now the question is why? And there's a work outside the Tchum. You kind of have to discover, based upon feeling out the sugya, what does it depend upon, and what's the way, you know, what does the issue revolve around? I guess that's a better way to think of it, like how to get to this far. Is that why can't it be my, that's I guess the question is, I mean, Rashi makes sense. The Ron's question is, why can't it be my Erev? Right, why not? He has me in mind. So simple, a good answer is because Erev means it's my food. food is my food for Shabbos. So it's not my food if I'm outside Tchum. I have no shaykhus of the food. So how the hell could be my Erev? So then the question turns to, okay, so how does it work according to Rashi? So he said, well, what shaykhus do I have to the Erev? What relationship do I have to it? So the answer, the good answer is, oh, because I have a Kenyan. And then you have to know that fact. But the way Erev works is it demands that I have a Kenyan. And it's my Erev because I have a Kenyan. So then the question is, oh, but doesn't the Ran also say that you need Kenyan? He also says you need Kenyan. Doesn't he? He acknowledges that fact. So we have to say, oh, but he's holding the Kenyan is not enough. It's necessary, but not sufficient. The Kenyan concretizes the reality of being my food. So you need Kenyan. But the Kenyan per se doesn't do it. It just sort of allows the reality of being my food. Whereas according to Rashi, the Kenyan is what makes it into my Eretz Hashem. That's like spelling out the steps there a little bit more, you know?
It's like an arbitrary, right. You know, halachic term.
It's true. It's like, it's a good question, but like how the Tchum, I mean, that's what Matt's point is, that our Tchum doesn't just mean like that's just the share they had to pick. But Tchum makes sense because that's the concept, is that you have to be related to the food. So therefore Tchum is the natural dividing line for that. It's not just arbitrary. So the question is now, so let's say for instance the Tchum is $2,000, right? And let's say some other guy places an air of Tchum so he could get into town. So then would it work? Right? It seems so. By this. It's not an objective measure, it's an idea that he's related to it. It would seem so. I mean, unless all you say is the other guy place that has to know that or whatever, I don't know, you know. 1 second. Actually, I'm just wondering, it's very interesting actually, because the Ran, remember the Ran says, at first he sounds like he's saying like Rashi, because he says the guy doesn't have das, stam das is on the people who are inside his tchum, but not more than that. Right? And he says even more than that it could be, even if he specifies it wouldn't work. Right? It wouldn't work. So the question is like, why does he have to then say, so if he's saying this idea, then why does he have to say, because stam das, just say because Erev doesn't work outside tchum, because it can't be your food. You know what I mean? But maybe it's because this case. Maybe this case wouldn't work. It's like when a guy plays an Erev, the concept of the way the Erev works is saying it's his food. It's other guy's food. So that guy's das is on the people who are within the Tchum. You know what I mean? Now if a guy happens to place an Erev Tchumen, that's like, not my das, I don't know, whatever. What a guy does is, I don't know about that. So my das is not going to be, I can't just place every guy in China. That for sure doesn't work. Because that's what you're saying. That definitely has no validity. Because I'm not, what I mean, I'm not saying it's his food. So what I mean is his food. It means that he relates to him placing it. This is the food for us. But if a guy's outside my tchum, then what am I not saying it's his food? Like, I don't know, why would I do that? He's outside tchum. Now, he happens to have an Erev. I mean, if I know about it, that would be one thing. But if I just don't place it for the city, I'm placing it for the people for whom it makes sense to say that it's their food. So that means the people within the Tchum.
What?
There's one part of the Ran we haven't explained. Again, I'll read the Ran. He says, Mr. Works until Tchum, because Stam Das, the standard Das assumption is that he's placing it for all the people who are inside the Tchum. But more than that, it's possible that even if he specifies, it wouldn't work. Because it's not logical that one guy could place an Erev on behalf of the whole world. That's the part we haven't explained yet. Because we're not really explaining, well, what does it mean it's not logical one guy place an Erev for the whole world? I mean, the Ran Svara is really, we're saying, is because the idea is that it's your food. Right? It's your food. Right? And since he's outside Tzchon, how could it be his food? Right? So if that's the case, what does that have anything to do with? It's not logical one guy can place an error for the whole world. It's nothing to do with one guy place an error for the whole world. It's just, he's outside the Trump. It doesn't work, he's outside the Trump. I mean, the whole world is the whole world. What's, you know, like, what's that argument? It sounds like, it doesn't sound like he's talking to the point. Right? Sounds like our Svara is missing what the Ran is saying. The thing is, I would have liked it to say that our Svara is correct. It says, Enu bedin, shi'arei v'alecha, she'enu yachol lechol me'eruvo. It's not logical that you can place an Erev for someone who can't eat from it. Something like that. Right? I mean, what's it saying? It's not logical one guy place it for the entire world. I mean, what's that? What kind of argument is that? Maybe just to save the Svara, is that the not every argument is necessarily saying the Svara. In other words, I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. But in other words, the Ran's point is that it's like a supporting argument. The Svara is, he holds the Svara is that it's your food. It's your food, The idea of it being your Erev means it's your food, and the Kinyan is merely to objectify that. But Rashi could argue, you could argue, and the Ran's not 100% sure in Svara, maybe what makes it your Erev is that it's, you have a Kinyan in it. Maybe that's sufficient, that's what makes it to your Erev. But you'd end up with a very funny result according to that. That essentially, that you could have in Kal Yisrael, the whole institution of Eretz HaShilin is really an institution that's a mitzvah on the once in the entire Kal Yisrael. That intrinsically, you could say it's set up in a way that one guy could place it in the entire Kal Yisrael. Like if the Gadol Dor decides, then basically there'd be no Eretz HaShilin anymore. He says, that's a strange result. I mean, it's funny. No one ever hear of that? Doesn't seem like that's a conclusion. Just seems like to be an untrue conclusion. It's not logical to say. I mean, whatever, the whole point of the Erev is supposed to be a hecker, it's going to remind you, whatever functions that it has, to say that you can have one Erev on the entire Klal Yisrael sounds ridiculous. Now, if you say Rashi Svara, then that's the result that you're going to end up with. Right? Now, it's like an argument ad absurdum, you know what I mean? It's like he's showing that that's what you're going to have to say. Right? But that is like taking it to the extreme and showing that's ridiculous. So you can't just say what makes it my Erev is that it's a Kenyan in it. You give a Kenyan the entire world. The whole world got a whole Kenyan in it. And you say that's your Erev. He says that doesn't make any sense. Rather, what makes it my Erev is because it's a Maya food. And the food is limited. It's a more local phenomenon. It's going to be limited to a group of people who have a relationship to each other. And the Erev is going to work to remind them, to function for them. But if you were to say that what makes it my Erev is merely Kenyan, then you're gonna open up the door to saying you have one Erev for the entire world. That's like he's taking as a given. That's ridiculous. And therefore, that's like support. Even though intrinsically in Svara you could argue what makes it my Erev, he's kind of showing an extreme which you don't really want to say, but you'd have to say if you say that Svara. So there, that's like a way to argue at the Svar. You know what I mean? It's like a way to argue with somebody. It's like, oh, according to you, So, I mean, a guy could always say Nechanami. You're right, I would agree. But sometimes the guy doesn't want to say Nechanami. Those kinds of questions are good. You show the guy how extreme his position is, and you make him force him into a conclusion that he's not really willing to tolerate. But if you show that that's logically follows from his conclusion, so he's going to have to either accept that at a conclusion that you could have one heir for the entire Klal Yisrael, or abandon your Svar. So look, Rashi could say Nechanami, but look, no one's going to ever do that. Whoever does that is ridiculous, you know. But still, you tell me, Rashi, that would work? Do you really want to say that? And Rashi's going to have to either say yes, or no, I give up my Svara. Or no, and show some way to wiggle out of it, and show, oh, no, that you're not allowed to do because blah. Which I don't know why. Doesn't see what's the difference. Kenyan, if it's saying works by Kenyan, why can't you make the Kenyan? You know what I mean? So that's like his argument. So the Inu B'Din is not saying what his Svara is. It's just giving an argument that is the conclusion. You know what I mean? And that's why I said, is that not every time Rishon talks is he necessarily saying the Svara. Sometimes he's just saying the argument that the Svara is correct. Like we say, Tosafos brings kashas on Rashi from a Gemara. It's not necessarily saying what his Svara is, he's just saying it's according to Rashi, how you can read this Gemara. It's difficult. Look, I understand Rashi could twist the Gemara and all that, but it's difficult. And if this Gemara and that Gemara, all these Gemaras, he knows Rashi could wiggle out of them, but he's just saying these are supporting evidence. But that's not necessarily what Tosafos' Svara is. Tosafos' Svara is sometimes just what the Svara is. You have to figure out what the Svara is. But an argument is you have to have a good Svara, but your Svara has to also pan out with the facts. You know what I mean? And the facts, you can ask questions on, you know, if Shugamaras, which are against it, it's a very nice Svara, but it's just not true. So you're here also saying you have a good Svara, but you tell me this conclusion? This conclusion sounds ridiculous. Look, you want to maintain it? Go ahead. But just know that this is what you're saying. You with me? Okay. So what I'd like to do next, it's continuing onwards in this Gemara. It tells a story. I think it's the very next Gemara. It tells a story, or maybe it's not. Yeah. It is, right? Okay. Husamya, yeah. Okay, so the question is basically, there's a phenomenon as the Gemara talks about. If a guy is poshea, he's negligent about the placing of his Erev, then it doesn't necessarily work for him. Then someone else can't, he can't just rely on someone else's Erev. The question is why not, and what are the parameters of that poshea? So I want to do the next Gemara, Tiltan Rabbanon. A few lines, 5-6 lines. And Rashi, and the Ran, and the Malamar. and then the rush. Okay.
If a guy is not poshea, poshea means
negligent. If you're negligent about placing of your eruv, if you are poshea, if you're negligent about placing the eruv, then you can't necessarily rely on someone else's eruv. So what the parameters of that are is the subject of the next few days.
Where's the Ron?
The Ron in the back. It's the very next piece where we were at in that previous. Oh, that's on Shabbos. Ahu Samya. I'm a Pasheat. Yeah, this Pashea and the Balamar on that Gemara. Okay? It's a few, a little bit after the Ron we just did today.
Oh, this was on the Mashmah maybe?